Alan Gring Productions presents the Illinois State Collegiate Compendium, academic lectures in business and economics. This is Business Finance, FIL 240, Section 4 for Autumn Semester 2016. Lecture 9, delivered on September 20, 2016. The title of this lecture is Valuing Cash Flows.
Tonight, Valuing Cash Flows. Now, I am pretty sure you have all taken accounting classes here, and to one extent or another, you were exposed to the idea of present values of lump sums, present values of annuities, and all that. Now, am I correct in assuming that they're still having you use tables in the back of the book to calculate the factors for present values? Yes, that's nice. They want to be traditional. But when I ask them, oh, you're a traditionalist, do you kill your own chickens and bleed them out before you fry them up? Well, hell no, that's disgusting. Well, whatever. You know, the point here being that we are in the 21st century, and it is good for you to know some things, how to do the math behind them. It's really important in some cases. But those tables are no more authentic than using a calculator. Someone did the calculations with a slide rule or I don't know, or some slavish grad assistant. So those tables don't do anything more for you than a financial calculator will. Now, the standard... Texas Instruments has the TI-83-84 series and an awesome one called the Inspire that do incredible job with finance problems. They have a whole set of finance apps that are just second to none. They can do these problems. So if you got one of those, I can show you how to use that. Might spend a few minutes showing you on Thursday night. Taking that one aside, there's a business calculator made by HP that is considered sort of like the cream of the crop. It's called the HP 12C. I would not recommend getting that unless you're really hardcore. But the financial calculator that Pearson has is actually quite nice. It's very clean, clean interface and all that. You can get the app for iPhones and Androids. Just go to Google Play and type in Pearson Financial Calculator. The problem is that the app is badly designed for a few Android devices. Like the app doesn't work very well with LGs. It does work with iPhones, and it does seem to work very nicely with Samsung products. But with LGs and some others, it's just doesn't work. So anyway, that would be what I'm going to put up here is the one that's online, the financial calculator. The app looks just like it, except that they've got some ridiculous giant blue bar at the bottom for whenever you want to have a tutorial, you push the blue button. After a while, that gets a little tedious having that thing sticking in your face when you know how to use the calculator just fine. But anyway, that aside, I'm going to show you the financial calculator here in a minute, but I'm going to start with a simple problem. With a couple of definitions first. Now, this is actually kind of old school. There are some who say, no, that's not the right definition, but it actually is. It's just that it's not used this way very much anymore. Look, a cash flow could be just one instance. You could have $200 in 3 years. That's a cash flow. It's a simple cash flow, but it's a cash flow. More often when we talk about cash flow, we're talking about from period to period, some amount of money showing up. Now, a cash flow that occurs from period to period is sometimes referred to as an annuity. Zero, one, two, three, we'll go four out, five out. Okay, so now, if the cash flow is the same for every period, we call it a level annuity. If it's the same. So if I were to put 200, 200, 200, 200, 200 for the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, that would be a level annuity. Now, in some cases, an annuity is level. Important cases. So, for example, when you make payments on a loan, that's going to be a level annuity. It's going to be a level annuity because it's the same amount for each payment every month. Other annuities aren't level. There are a couple of special cases of unlevel annuities that are nice, but real world projects, I mean, you can't really say you've got a level annuity happening in a project. You're going to have maybe small cash flows first year, growing for a few years, and then declining after that for a few years. So in the real world of business cash flows at the bottom line, the annuity is never going to be the cash flow is not going to be a level thing. But anyway, two important kinds of annuities, and from now on, unless I say it differently, it's going to be a level annuity in the next couple of minutes. Here's one, $100 in year one, $100 in year two, $100 in year three, $100 in year four, and $100 in year five. Now, here is a similar annuity, but the first $100 happens right away at year zero. The second one happens at year one, third one at year two, fourth one at year three, and the fifth one at year four. These are very similar. They're both level annuities. But this one up here, the one that occurs at the end of the period, is called an ordinary annuity. The one where the cash flows occur at the beginning of the period is called an annuity due. See that Pearson calculator right there? See that BGN button? You hit that if you are going to deal with an annuity due. Typically, when we're looking for a present value of a cash flow, it's going to be an ordinary annuity because you take out a car loan, your first payment is 1 month later, and then all the payments occur sequentially after that. So for things like home loans, car loans, things like that, they are going to be ordinary annuities. And you're calculating present values. Future values, interestingly enough, oftentimes are annuity due. Think about it this way. You are my newborn son. Don't ask me how it happened. You know, it was a night, yeah. It was Rockford, and it was a parking lot of a truck stop. But I know, right? So what? The day you're born, I say, I have got to get this guy prepared for college. Okay, so I immediately put into the bank $5,000. And I vow that every year for 18 years, I'm going to put in $1,000. $1,000 when you're born, $5,000 when you're born, $5,000 the year after that. And then that last one on your 17th birthday, I put in $5,000. You turn 18, and I turn over to you the savings account. It's yours. That is an annuity due because that last payment, the first payment happens immediately, and the last payment rides for 1 year, okay? So if you think about it, if I am looking for a present value, an ordinary annuity is worth less than an annuity due. Because you see, with a present value, the first payment happens right here. With an ordinary annuity, it decays a year before it gets valued. With future values, though, if you look out here, with an ordinary annuity, interestingly enough, the last payment occurs here at the 18th birthday. It would earn no interest. But as a future value, the annuity due, your last payment, this payment would earn for 18 years, and the last payment would earn for a year. So for future values, the annuity due is going to be worth more than the ordinary annuity. leave that off to the side here for just a minute or two. And let's get down to the nitty-gritty. We'll deal with these level annuities here in a while. But realistically, I'm actually going to show you a sort of a real problem. I got to scale it back here. We're going to do a 5-year cash flow. It's going to be unlevel. It's a project. Now, the first cash flow from the project is going to be about $200. The second cash flow is going to be $300. Then in the third year, $500. And in the fourth year, $500. And then the project tails out in its last year with $100. Okay? And we want to find out what the present value of that cash flow is. Here's how you do it on your calculator, on the Pearson calculator. I would strongly, if you have a chance, if you can get it up on your, on the Pearson site, if you got a phone, you can pull up the Pearson site and do this. But otherwise, just watch as I do it. First things first, always, always, for God's sake, hit reset. Because there could be some information data in some of the buffers, the virtual memory buffers, being commanded by the program. So hit reset, always. So the next thing I'm going to do is, this is a cash flow problem. So you hit CF. And you notice that the thing changes, the appearance of the screen changes on the calculator. So now what we're going to do is, it's saying, what's CF0? In other words, what's the initial cash flow? In this case, there is no initial cash flow, so I'll just hit enter, and I'll go down, and I go to cash flow 1. And in this case, I had a cash flow, I can't even read, is that 200 over there? 200. I'm going to hit enter, and then I'm going to go down, and I see something new, F. Frequency. What's the frequency of this first cash flow? It's 1 period in frequency. See, it happened only once. So I hit enter and I go down. Now I got to see what's the second cash flow, and I look over there. Is it really that hard for me to write so I can see? 300, is it? 300. Hit enter. And then I go down. What's the frequency of that cash flow? Well, it happened once, so I can just hit enter. And move on down, C3. Well, C3 is $500. And I hit enter and I go down. Well, it's saying the frequency of that. Well, there are two of those. So I can hit 2, and that way I don't have to do the 300 or the 500 again. I did hit 500 there, didn't I? Yeah, good. And then I can go down, and the last one was $100 there. Hit enter. I did hit enter with that, didn't I? Yeah. Okay. And that happened once. And so now I'm going to have one more piece of information before I can finish this. What discount rate should I apply to these cash flows? So I'm just going to pull this out of the air and say, let's do 7.5%. Now remember, on financial calculators, you put it in as a percent. If you're doing real math with formulas, you use the decimal, the real one, the actual number. But in these financial calculators, you always put in the decimal version, 7.5. I over Y, enter. And now, we're going to compute the net present value, okay? It's $1,292.18. is the present value of that cash flow. Now, it looked like that was slow. It took a while. Once you get the hang of it, you can just fly with these. And it's a hell of a lot easier than using tables, because with tables you'd have, because this is not a level annuity, you'd have to find the present value factor for each individual component along the line and then add them up. This way, it all just happens at once for you. Now, the next thing would be, okay, well, is there anything else to this? Well, suppose that someone said, well, that what we'll do is this project costs us $1,000. So in a case like that, I'd say, yeah, we're going to take this project because it's worth more than the cost of it. But if someone said this project is $1,300, going to cost us $1,300, I'd say no. Reject the project. It has a negative net present value. But in this case, we see that its value is $1,292.18, so we can just simply say, if it's going to cost less than that to do this, yes. If it's going to cost us more than that, even by a dime, no, we're not going to do that. That is how to do an unlevel annuity. You can just hammer them out, crank them out all day long, just cash flow component to cash flow component, and get your answers on this financial calculator. It's that nice. Now, we're going to go to another kind of problem here, a different problem. We're going to reset this, and now we're going to go to a level annuity. The first one I'll do is the one I described in the case of my son over there. Son, I'm going to put $5,000 in the bank. First reset. I'm going to put $5,000. $5,000 into the bank. That's my payment. And I'm going to do that for 18 years. Okay, now I'm going to need an interest rate. I put it into a CD that pays, let's say the CD that I put it into is going to pay for each piece of it, oh, let's say 5.75% per year, okay? So since it's annual, I don't have to worry about dividing by the number of periods. 5.75, enter. Now, I'm going to have to say, all right, because I'm making the first installment right away, this is an annuity due. So I hit the beginning. You see how the cash flow shifted forward when I did that? It's so cool on this one. I love this timeline. It actually shows you what's happening. And now, I can compute what you're going to have on your 18th birthday. Okay, I put in the last payment on your 17th birthday. On your 18th birthday, I give you that account. Compute the future value. $159,596.36. Now notice these always come out as negative. Present values and future values, it's just an old thing with financial calculators. Just pretend it's not there. But anyway, so I just gave you $159,596.36. You could at least say thank you. Sir, you're welcome. Anyway, do you see? That's how you would calculate it. This is the beginning, by the way, of financial planning. You want a certain amount of money at a certain time, date in the future? Well, a financial planner will say, all right, if you have the discipline to handle it, you put money in every year on the specific date, every year for a certain number of years, and you'll have it. If you miss a year, it screws it up and we have to recalculate. If you get greedy and take some of that money out somewhere along the way, well, then it's a mess and we have to recalculate and it's going to be worse what you have to do to recover. As a matter of fact, there's a financial planner I had speak to my finance students last year. He said, well, one of our biggest problems, he said, I had this one couple. They were on track. They were about 36 years old, on track to retire at 50. They'd have a second home, and they'd have enough money for their
kid for college along the way, but the dumbass guy bought a yacht with the money that was in the account. A yacht. Blew the whole thing out of the water. That was it. Game over. And as it turned out, well, it was even worse for him because when his wife found out what he'd done, she divorced him and took the rest of his clock to the cleaners. Anyway, so you stay on track with these things, and you'll achieve these goals in a. That's a lot of money. I mean, just throwing that much in, and you can throw it into one of those Roth IRAs. You can use those for tax shield purposes. So this is the beginning. If you're interested in financial planning, this is kind of what we do. In that, well, we don't call it financial planning so much. We call it wealth management these days. Okay, enough of that one. Let me show you an example. Reset. I'm going to show you an example of calculating a payment. What do you think about, ma'am, your dream is to own a double-wide trailer on the south side of Decatur. You're going to change your name to Mabel, and you're going to work at a Denny's. These are your dreams. I know, right? We all have them. But anyway, you go to the, you're going to the bank, and you say, no, I don't want to live that life. I want to live in a nice place. I want to live in a beautiful home. I want to live in Joliet. Okay, scratch that. I want to live in Rockford. Okay, we'll get something here soon. Schaumburg, okay? I'm going to buy a modest starter home. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to buy a home and I'll take out a loan for $160,000 for my home. And I'm going to get it on a 5.95% APR loan, 30-year fixed rate. And I've got to see what my payments will be on this loan. Now, the practical side of this is that if you can do these calculations up front, most banks have a threshold of disposable income. You can't go over like 25%, 33% of what your disposable income is after you've paid your other bills and all that, or total. So what we're looking at here is the way you would see what your affordability is. Can you afford this home? And this is actually very easy because we're going to just do the payments. The one thing that we're going to have to recognize here is, first things first, is that in this case, we're going to be making monthly payments for 30 years, 30 times 12 months. So the number of periods is going to be 360. Okay? Now, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to have to figure out the monthly interest rate. 5.95% divided by 12. And that's going to be our monthly interest rate on the loan. Don't forget to turn it into the periods. With yearly cash flow things, it's easy. But when you get down to these ones that are like monthly or weekly or biweekly kinds of things, you have to do these divisions and all that. Okay, so now, the next thing we're going to say is, what is the present value? That's the price value that you're taking out right now. In this case, $160,000. Now, a little caution to you. Present values and future values should be keyed in as a negative number. Don't ask me why. It's something that's been in financial calculators ever since the beginning. I think I did that wrong there. Ever since the beginning. I don't know why they have to have negatives, but they do. Just don't forget to do it. And that's the present value. And now, let's compute our payments. $954.14 a month. So in other words, if to meet the 25% threshold, you probably would need to be taking home disposable a little under $4,000 a month. That would qualify you for this loan on a 25% threshold. And that's how they do it. They're just going to look at it straight up. Or 30, some of them are 33%, some of them. So in other words, somewhere between $3,000 and $4,000. Now you decide, what would happen if I really wanted to go big time and I wanted to do, instead of a $160,000 home, what if I wanted to aim at a $220,000 home? We don't have to start from scratch at all. All we have to do is just put in $220,000. Again, pause neg, hit that pause neg button. That's your price value now. Now, recompute payment, and the payment goes up to $1,311.95. $1,311.95. So in other words, the delta there is what? About $370 more a month buys you a $220,000 home instead of a $160,000 home. And then it comes down to a personal decision. Well, I would definitely get a nicer home for $220,000, but can I eat that much more of a payment? That's another almost $400 out of my wallet every month for this nicer place. And then you have to start, we'll talk about this maybe a little, well, not maybe. We'll talk about it a little later in the course. The incremental cash flow of, I think it's about $370, $360, something like that. What is the incremental investment value to you of this? For one thing, you could probably hold on to the home longer, kind of have an extra bedroom, possibly two, which means that you could have more kids before you'd have to move on. Also, at the higher value, you'd probably be in a community where the home values would hold their own better in a recessionary environment. It's a personal choice at this point, but what I'm trying to show you is this is financial planning. This is how you do it. You can figure this out for car loans, for auto loans. So, for example, if you wanted to take out a car loan, let's say that you're looking at a $16,000 car, and you're looking at an APR right now running at 6.29% for monthly payments, and you're looking at a five-year loan for the car. This would be an ordinary annuity because you're going to take out the loan. The first payment will be due a month later. So it's end of the period loan amounts. So the first thing you always do is just reset, and then you crank forward. We would have 12 months per year for 5 years. I know I could have done that in my head, but I just want to show you. You can do calculations as you're cranking along. I always hit the enter button. I'm not sure if you always have to do that, but I just do it as a force of habit. Okay, so now the APR was 6.29. Remember that you have to turn that into a monthly interest rate because the payments are monthly. That's I over Y. And then our loan amount is $16,000. Pause neg. Price value. And I'll compute the payments. $311.49. That's what it'll cost you for this. You can even do this before you step into the car dealership. You can look at the, all right, what would, for a car loan. A car loan, they're going to say no more than 25% of your disposable income. You figure out what 25% of your disposable income is, and that will tell you how much of a car you can buy. And let me show you how you do that. This is very practical stuff, a lot of what I'm doing tonight. You've worked it out. You've got your first job coming out of here. You're pulling about, let's say, $60,000 a year. And that means that probably about 40, 36 to 40 is going to be in your pockets. $36,000 a year is disposable, divided by 12. So you're going to get a $3,000 a month Check. Okay, now times that by 0.25, and you've got about 750. Is that right? Yeah, okay. However, you're probably going to not want to do that. You're going to say, the hell with that. I really, really don't want to spend on a car payment more than, $380 a month. That's my going to be my tolerance limit. Okay, so now what we can do here is we can say, let's flip this problem around. Let's put in a $380 payment and compute what price value, what loan I can take out. I can buy a $19,519 car. So when you walk into the dealership, you can say, I've calculated this out. I want out the door, tax and title and everything, a car for no more than $19,500. That way, you just simply say, out the door, tax and title, everything, $19,500, and that will guarantee that your payments are within your personal decision-making threshold right there. That's how we use this stuff in practical life, is so that we can control what happens when we go to car dealerships, when we go to real estate agents and all that. This is what I can afford. Please don't push me up above this. Oh, this is a little special. It's a couple thousand more, but you'll really love this. Don't do that. Whatever it is you're going to sell me, the tax, the title, everything out the door can't be more than this amount right here. That way you know the loan's going to go through, and you know you're going to be able to handle the payments based upon your personal preferences and financial situation. Enough said about that. This is the practical side. And again, this is financial planning, your own personal financial planning and all of that kind of stuff. I want to take you back here. Taking it off the practical side, kind of off the practical side, but I need to make a point before I go any further here. You're... I'm going to do two different unlevel annuities. The first one has cash flows right away, $5,000, $6,000. $8,000, $3,000, $2,000. The other one has very small cash flows for a long, long time. This one has maybe $200 the first year, $300 the second year, $400 in years 3, 4, and 5, $500 in year 6, and then it has $8,000, $10,000 in year 8, $10,000, year 9, $10,000, and in year 10, $10,000. Extraordinarily different cash flow patterns, but I want you to suffer with me. I'm going to put both of these in and see their present values. because there's a point to be made, and also you can see me doing another present values kind of problem. Reset everything. Now we're going to go to cash flow. And on the first one, there's no cash flow in the first year. But then we got $5,000. Or in the year zero, there's nothing. And then in year one, $5,000. Enter. Down one period. And one period. Then there's $6,000 in year two. Oops. Enter. For one period. Then there's 8,000. Enter. Down one period that occurs. And then 3,000. Enter. Down one period. And then one last one of 2,000. Enter. Down. And one period. Now, let's say that the discount rate for both of these projects is 9% annually. Okay, so I'm going to say 9% and I'm going to compute the net present value. $19,239.84. $239.84. Now let me do the other one. Clear the entries. Okay, clear everything. Reset. Now we're going to do cash flow. Nothing in year one. Nothing at the beginning. Year one, $200. Enter, down one. One period, $300 in the next period. Whoops. One. Enter. Down, cash flow, second period, $300. Enter. Down, one. Enter down third period. Well, we have 1, 2, 3, 400s. So we'll put in 400. Enter for three periods. Enter down. And then we have 500 in one period. Enter down. Enter. And I know this is tedious, but I am sort of giving you how we do this. Cash flow 5 is 8,000. Doesn't match a year anymore, 8,000. Enter, down for one period, down. And then we'll have 10,000 for 3 years. Enter, down, three. Enter, down. Now, I over Y is 9%. Compute. The present value, my ass, compute the net present value, duh. $19,813. Now the point that I am making here, one of the problems that comes about as a result of the Western capitalist model that I'm teaching you here is that this project here, see that first project? It has smaller cash flows, but they're loaded forward in time. A cash flow pattern like the one in this last problem, this could be very easily turned away from if it were a little bit less on that last year. The point being that there is in the present valuation, in the model with present valuation, what the present value of projects, there is a bias toward projects that load forward, quick cash, quick money. This is actually quite practical because we tend in our businesses, especially until you get up to the size of oligopolies, the size of normal businesses, we tend to favor things that happen that get us results fast over things that get us results that could be much larger, but they take a long, long time to develop. No better example of this can I give you than what happened in the 1970s. We had a three-part moon, go to the moon, land people on the moon mission. It started with the Mercury rockets, just getting people into space and see if they could survive there. And then we went to the Geminis, where we actually had two-person crews working in space, going outside and doing spacewalks. And then we had the third part, the Apollo missions, where we actually shot people up there. First, we looped around the moon, and then we put them down on the moon. Well, once we had finished doing that, we were in a real can-do attitude. The next thing was to talk about real space stations. I'm not talking about those things, this modular crap that we have now. Big, huge torus tubes spinning, like in 2001, A Space Odyssey, and all that kind of stuff. We really had the designs. We had a go-to attitude. The problem with it was that the missions to the moon had shown us that cash flow, positive cash flow, new products, new innovations, came years later. And if you were going to talk about space stations, the benefits of those were not going to come in the 1970s, 80s, or 90s. They would come well into the second, third decade of the 21st century. So we dropped the whole project. And now we're trying to pick it back up again, pretty much from scratch, with at this late date. So the point there being that that same preference for cash flows that happen quickly deter us from things that could have incredible benefit, but years and years later. So keep that in mind whenever I teach you about present values and all that kind of stuff. Well, this is the way we do it, and we accept and reject our projects. There's another side to this. This makes us so that we tend to ignore things that could be a lot more valuable, but they take a lot longer to develop. Now, the next thing I'm going to show you is another kind of like real life example. Madam, you just won the lottery. You really did. You won the lottery where the jackpot was $20 million. You did. I know, right? I mean, why would you stand here in front of Fat Boy who's telling you how to do this stuff when you can hire someone to do it? Listen, the thing though is that this is really, what I'm going to show you is really how it works. People think, oh, I'm going to get a $20 million check. Uh-huh. Let the good times roll. You know, we're not even going to eat at White Castle. We're going to hit Denny's and the double Grand Slam breakfast and all that kind of stuff. Okay, the problem here is that that's not how they do it. They are going to pay you $1 million a year for 20 years. And they are going to assume that you are too stupid to understand that $1 million a year for 20 years is not the same as $20 million. And it is not the same at all. As a matter of fact, we can even figure out what it really is that you want and how much those lottery officials for the state are a bunch of lying mofos. The first thing is that they're going to give you your first $1 million check right away to shut your pie hole up, okay? So you're not going to bitch, you'll get a $1 million check. Now let's reset, and we're going to do this thing, cash flow. You're going to get, now I can do this two different ways. I can actually do this two different ways. I can just do it as a cash flows problem. There's going to be $1 million. Is that right? I hate that. I need the commas. I really do. Okay? So you're going to get $1 million right away. Enter. Down. Now, this next cash flow is going to occur 19 more times $1 million. Enter. Down. 19 times. You have to do it. The cash flow one, you have to. Okay? So now I need to put in an interest rate. And let's say that the discount rate on these kinds of things is 7%. It actually, in the case of Illinois, I would like hell at 7% with Illinois. Let's try about 10%. Why did I just change that to 10%? Remember what I said interest rates represent? What did I say interest rates represent? Risk. Bingo. Risk. And if you want to talk about risk of losing some of your money with the state of Illinois, yeah, I'm going to put 10% instead of 7%. So let's say 10%, okay? So now the next thing we're going to do is enter. I'll make sure I got that in there. So now 10%. Enter. Now, compute the net present value. $9,364,290. The present value, the value of that is 364,920. And 9 cents, is that? Yep. That is what that you won. You didn't win any 20 million. You won 9,364,920. That's what you won. There is no $20 million. There is no $20 million anywhere in this deal. That is simply a marketing tool. Now, there are buyers, investors, who will actually buy your cash flow from you. They would say, you sign over these $1 million checks and we'll give you a lump sum right away. And then what you would simply do, and this is true, this is how it can work. Even the state will offer you a lump sum. What you do is you look at the lump sum that they're offering you against that $9,364,920.09. If they offer you more than that, you say yes. If they offer you less than that, you say no, I'll just keep the cash flow. But one way or the other, you are most decidedly not going to get $20 million. And that's something that happens with a lot of these. That it's actually, if it weren't the states that do this, it would be called a scam. There are deals where they will guarantee you that you're going to get a certain large amount of money over a period of years. But you're not going to get anywhere near that because it's going to happen with an annuity that is not worth nearly as much as you think it is. But the bottom line here is that when you win the lottery, you should rest assured that you can calculate what you really won as opposed to what they say you won. And that's all I have for you tonight. I thank you.